Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Midah is daf Lamed Aleph. I dare say it's famous, daf Lamed Aleph. Not that any particular daf in Shas is necessarily famous, but you'll see as we go through today's daf, you're going to say very often to yourselves, I've heard that. So parts of it are extraordinarily famous. Fetal development. This is the daf that's dedicated to the topic of fetal development. And we're back on Lamed Amud Aleph. We're starting with the Mishnah, but we're going to go through a lot today, but I'd like to finish the Perek. A, that's where we're supposed to be, and B, it takes us through the entire unit. We start with the Mishnah. Mishnah on Lamed Amud Aleph reads as follows, Amapelsi yom mem eino choshesh levlad, yom mem aleph teisha v'zecho nekevas, ulanida. We've discussed this already a number of times. The first 40 days of gestation, the first 40 days of after post-conception, So the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Chachamim do not treat that at all as even a fetus. Meaning the terminology that's used elsewhere is Maya Ba'alma. It's water. It is such a early stage of fetal development, it just doesn't have the status of a fetus. And so therefore, right now again, abortion is not our topic. It's not really going to be our discussion. That's a more contemporary discussion. But our discussion is going to be Tumas Leida. So let's say, for example, the woman did in fact conceive and she miscarried up to and including the 40th day. The Mishnah says, "Ein chashash levlad." At that point in time, you don't have to worry at all. Meaning that even if she did conceive 40 days ago, and even if there was something developing inside of her, but it's not a vlad. It's not a leid. That's not considered a birth. However, let's say she miscarried on the 41st day after conception. Now, of course, it's going to be difficult to know where that we're talking with such precision. 40 days, 41 days. Okay, yeah, it's a fair question, but let's just assume right now. In other words, the Mishnah here is just giving us the marker, the borderline. But if it's on the 41st day, Teishav Lezachon Akevel Nida. So now we have to treat it like a birth. But at that point in time, you don't know what gender is. So, could be a male, could be a female, or, again, it could also be none of the above. It could just simply be a discharge of blood. So the Mishnah says, Zachar Nekeva Nida. So you have to treat it like a boy, like a girl, or like she's just simply a Nida. Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Yom Emaav Teshav Zachar Nida, Yom Pe'alav Teshav Zachar Ul Nekeva Ul Nida, Shazachar Nigmar Lememav Nekeva Lepe'alav. An interesting position of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says that fetal development is different for a boy than for a girl. Okay? And a boy takes 40 days to develop into a fetus. Meaning, again, we're just talking about just the development of the fetus itself, according to Rabbi Shmuel. A boy takes 40 days, meaning on the 41st day, it is now formally and legally a fetus. But for a girl, takes 80 days, not to be confused with the 80 days postpartum, which she'll be Tamei/Tahor after having given birth to the baby. Don't confuse that. But in other words, 80 days from conception until the 80th day of this fetus's development, that's how long it takes for a female to develop inside of the mother. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Now, those numbers obviously are very familiar. The Gemara is going to connect. Meaning, those numbers, 40 and 80, what are they? As I just got done saying, those also happen to be the amount of time that the woman is tame. Rabbi Shmuel believes, and the Gemara is going to say this, I'm not innovating over here, that just like postpartum for a boy, she's tame/tahor for 40 days, so too, in utero, it takes 40 days for this fetus to develop into a fetus. Just like she's tame/tahor for 80 days after having a girl, that's how long it takes from conception to this fetus to start developing into this female. We'll talk much more about this position of Rabbi Shmuel as we go through the Gemara. Shazachar nigmar lememalef v'nekev lepeal. The Chacham emor memechad b'riyas hazachar v'echaz b'riyas v'nekev hazev hazem memalef. And the Chacham disagree. And they say, no, it's not correct. Meaning that the fetus develops on the 41st day, regardless of whether it's male or female. Okay, that's the machlokus within the Mishnah. Now,
what is, how many days are we talking about?
When we're saying Nida, all we're saying at that point in time is she gets no Yemei Tohar. Meaning that if it were just a, if we knew for a fact that she had she delivered a baby, so then she would get Yimei Torah. She would get days where, despite the fact that she's bleeding, she could still be with her husband. But being that we don't know, and it could very well be that this isn't even a baby, she gets nothing. She doesn't get Yimei Torah. Now, and she's going to be Tameah. And how long will she be Tameah for? She'll be Tameah for 14 days. On the chance that it is a female. Which then prompts the Gemara to ask the obvious question. So let's get this straight. Meaning, we don't know what came out of her. So it could be a male child that she just miscarried. Could be a female child. And it could be neither of the above. So you have three options, A, B, and C. So the Gemara is going to ask the question, what is A adding to our discussion? Meaning, it could be a boy. Okay, but even if it was a boy, she'd be tame for only 7 days, and that's it. That's already covered by the fact that she's a Nida. This may be Dam Nida. It's certainly covered by the fact that this may be a girl, which is 14 days of Tama. So what is the boy, what does option A really add to our discussion? So Lama Huska Zacha, that's the Gemara's question. So why mention a male? Ile me Tama Haktani Nekeva, the Ile me Tahara Haktani Nida. Already 14 days of Tumah is covered by the fact that she may have had a girl. The fact that she doesn't get Yimei Torah, that's already covered by the fact that she's a Nida. So, what do we gain by it perhaps being a boy? So the Gemara explains like this. I'll tell you, it does have practical application. She'im tira yom lamadalad, v'tachsa v'tira yom mem ve'echad. Okay? Let's say after having this miscarriage, she sees blood on the 34th day, postpartum. Postpartum over here means post-miscarriage. And she sees again on the 41st day. Okay? Somewhat complicated, but the point is going to be as follows. When she saw blood on the 34th day, so let's think about this. That 34th day, what could that be? So it could be Dam Torah. Absolutely. Because remember, what could have come out of her was a boy. When she sees blood on the 41st day, that may be Dam Nida. It also may be Dam Tahor. Meaning because it's a boy, because of the possibility that's a boy, so her bleeding on 34th could be viewed as either Dam Tahor, or maybe it's nothing, not nothing, but not Dam Leda, but maybe Dam Nida. And then when she bleeds again on 41st day, post-miscarriage, we could also view that in two different ways. We could say that day 34 was already Dam Tahor, even though she's already counted 7 days of being a Nida, but maybe she's not a Nida. So in other words, by virtue of the fact that we have to consider that she had a boy, leads to further confusion and complication in terms of how to label the bleeding post the miscarriage. And then the Gemara just simply concludes, so v'tach zotir yom ve'echad temukukalas ad memches v'chein le'nyin nekeva. And the same point can be made vis-a-vis her having had a female child. That is, she'im tira yomayin dalid. Let's say she saw bleeding on day 74, postpartum, post-miscarriage. V'tachzer v'tira yom pei aleph. And then she saw bleeding on day 81, te'im u'kokal sad pei ches. Again, we don't know. We don't know how to label these bleedings. The bleeding that she had on 74 could be dam tahor. Could be. Because what came out of her could have been a female. And that means now that even though she's not going to treat it like Dam Torah, because it's only a possibility, she'll treat it like Dam Nida, and she'll sit 7 days as being a Nida, but then when day 81 rolls around and she bleeds again, we're going to have to go back to square one. That could be her Dam Nida. So she's going to treat that like Dam Nida as well. And she'll be Milku Kelis until day 88. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Yomem Alf Tishel Zachal Nekeva. Now, Ulanita, sorry. Now, before we start the ensuing Gemara, this is going to be one long thread from here, where we are in Daf Lamed Amud Beis, until the end of the Perek. Now, the Gemara is going to go through a lot of biology. Now, the biology as we know it, first of all, I know a little bit, once upon a time, but I knew it better. And the biology that the Gemara here is going to describe may not coordinate one with the other. That doesn't bother me. Rarely does it. But they're going to give some sort of descriptive terms in terms of the fetal position, right? That we're all familiar with. The Gemara is going to describe the fetal position and certain things about fetal development, which may or may not agree with what we know today. Modern science may know, and also gender selection. Gender selection is going to take up a big role over here in the upcoming Gemara. So you want to learn how to make a boy, you want to learn how to make a girl. So the and some of the Gemaras coming up are going to be just exciting. A lot of exciting Gemaras to speak about. So the first thing we're going to cover now is that machlokus we saw in the Mishnah. How long does it take to go from a sperm and an egg to a developing fetus, meaning a fetus which has a legal status as being a fetus? So the answer is 40 days, right? That's what we saw back in the Mishnah. For the first 40 days, it's just Maya Ba'alma, and then after that 41st day, it's already now a developing fetus inside of her. Okay, which for our purposes, for our discussion, the basic nafkamina would be is that if she were to miscarry it after 40 days, that's considered a birth. It's considered a leida. Okay. There's the opinion in our Mishnah of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, no, it's different for a boy and for a girl. For a boy, it takes 40 days for that fetus to develop into a fetus. And for a girl, it takes 80 days. So I know this is strange, but let's say we knew that it was a girl developing inside of her, and this girl was miscarried on day 75, right, post-conception. 75th day of gestation. According to Rabbi Yishmael, the mother is not Tamei Leida. It's a strange position, but that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. We don't follow like Rabbi Shmuel, la halacha. Tanya, we start with the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Timei V'Tahor, V'Zachar V'Timei V'Tahor B'nei Keva, Ma K'Shetimei V'Tahor B'Zachar Yitzir Asa Ki Yotze Bo, Av K'Shetimei V'Tahor B'nei Keva, Yitzir Asa Ki Yotze Bo. As I explained back in the Mishnah, here the Gemara says it outright. Rabbi Shmuel does a little comparison shopping, meaning just like postpartum, mom will be Tamei 40 days after having a boy and 80 days after having a girl, so too in utero development, same story. 40 days of in utero development to make the fetal boy and 80 days of in utero development to make the female girl, the fetus girl. Amru lo, so they say to Rabbi Shmuel, literally, what are you doing? What is that? Ein lemeidim yitzira mituma. You can't do that. You don't learn tuma from yitzira. Those are two different issues. So Amr lola Rabbi Shmuel Maisa beKleopatra Malka Alexandros. Okay, and now the Gemara here is going to take such an interesting turn. Okay, I know during the Holocaust this was a big issue, and that was experiments on human beings, and so. This is unfortunately not a new phenomena. This has been going on throughout the ages. And the Gemara here is going to describe how basically they did human experiments. So it was done by Cleopatra, right? A name from we're familiar with. Historically, who knows, because they were all Cleopatra. But in other words, we get the basic idea. So Amr lo, the Rabbi Shmuel, Maisa Cleopatra Malkas Alexandrios. So Cleopatra, queen of Alexandrios, which was the capital city of Egypt, post the Greek conquest of the world. She is chayva shivchosel harigal malchus ubatkanu matza zevizel lemem aleph. And so certain maidservants of hers were chayv misa, so they were going to die anyway, and so. Impregnated them, meaning the maidservants, and then cut them open on day 41. And it turns out that they found the fetal development of the fetus inside, both for the boy and for the girl, on day 41. Okay? And so this human experimentation is a question against Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, that's an interesting source in which to ask Rabbi Shmuel question. So Amar lahem, ani mivelchem raya min atorva, tamivim raya min ashotim. So Rabbi Shmuel makes a very good comeback. What are you doing? I'm going to the Torah, meaning my source of information is the Torah, and your source of information is from imbeciles, from idiots, meaning the Egyptians and human experimentation, and
But the thing is that they made an observation that's a valid observation.
The Gemara is going to poke holes in the observation. So my rhyme in Atari Ilay Matime Vitar Bazakh Vitime Vitar Benekeva Hakamrele Ain Danitzer Mituma. Now, as to the point of, well, what was Rabbi Shmuel's source from the Torah? He said, well, let's take a look at the length period of Tuma Tahara, 40 days for a boy postpartum, 80 days for a girl postpartum, to which we've already dismissed that, meaning the Chachamim already said to Rabbi Shmuel, but Tuma Tahara have nothing to do with Yitzira, with fetal development. So we've already dismissed that point. So what other point does Rabbi Yishmael have in terms of I went to the Torah? So Amakra Teled Hostif Lakasv Le Dacharis Minakeva. Yeah. So when the Torah talks about the birth of a boy and a girl, so first the Torah, we're in the beginning of Parshas Tazria, first the Torah talks about the birth of a boy. Then the Torah says, and if you give birth to a girl, and it uses an extra teled, which means that for a girl, there's extra leida. Well, now what does that mean, extra leida? It doesn't mean that her gestation period is longer, it's the same. Same 9 months, same 271 days, same 40 weeks, however you want to say it. But it's the same. So when it says an extra leida, so Rabbi Shmuel's argument is, it means it takes the female longer to develop inside before she becomes this female fetus.
What on the other? What according to Rabbi Shmuel, what about the other end? So a female pregnancy shouldn't last 9 months, it should last 9 months plus 40 days if you really want to fall pregnant.
Yeah, okay. I hear. Umay Rayam in a Shotim, so Amar Nekeva Kadim Viyabar, Arbaan Yaman Kamizachar. So the Gemara says, and as far as human experimentation is concerned, so let's think about this experiment. Now it happens to be that at one point in time I knew a little bit about experimental psychology. At one point in time I even taught it. Okay? I'm making a full admission. So, but it's funny though because, and it's not funny, it's great, meaning that in experimentation, we have all these issues of confounding variables and control over an experiment. And these are exactly the issues which the Gemara now is going to poke holes in regarding their issue, regarding the Egyptians and human experimentation. Meaning, the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yishmael, look, what happened? So Cleopatra took these two, impregnated these two simultaneously, and then after 40 days, on the 41st day, killed them and cut them open. Okay, again, the ethics and the morals, obviously it's inhumane, but that's, right, that's what we're going to compartmentalize. Leave that issue aside for now. And besides, it's Cleopatra, it's not, you know, it's the Gemara is not condoning, the Gemara is just simply saying, this is what happened. So, the first point that the Gemara makes is, how do you know they both got impregnated at the same time? Meaning, it could very well be that the one who was carrying the female was impregnated 40 days earlier. Now, v'rabanan sama denafza ashkinu. So, zachar, v'rabanan sama denafza ashkinu. So, and the Chachamim will say, well, no. In other words, what happened is that Cleopatra, before she took these girls for experimentation, she made sure that even if they were pregnant, they weren't pregnant anymore. She gave them a pill. I know this sounds so modern. I love it. She gave them a pill that if they were pregnant, would clear out the pregnancy. Okay. So, Rabbi Yishmael, now Rabbi Yishmael will say in his defense, now remember, Rabbi Yishmael is the one poking holes in the experiment because Rabbi Yishmael doesn't like the conclusion of the experiment, doesn't fit in with what he believes, so therefore Rabbi Shmuel will continue to poke holes in the experiment. Rabbi Shmuel, Ika Gufa Dolo Mekabel Sama. Not everyone responds to this medication, this aborting medication, this medication that's used to aid and help the woman abort her fetus. So not everyone responds to that, so it could be that one of the women was already previously impregnated, perhaps even 40 days earlier, and yes, Cleopatra gave her drugs, but maybe she just didn't respond to the drugs. Amalam Rabbi Shmuel, Maisa Beklapatra, Machas Yevanish, and Eschaiva Shivchase Ariga, Lamachus, Ubatra, Masan Zachla, Banva Echad, Unikeva, Lepe Aleph. So now the Gemara is going to quote another, I think it's a Tosefta, it looks like a Tosefta, in which we're going to go the other way. Where Rabbi Shmuel is going to cite an experiment that was done, which supports his position that it was 40 days for the development of a fetus of a boy, 80 days for the development of a fetus of a girl. So Amr Lo, now here we're going to go the other way. Where the Chachamim are going to say to Rabbi Shmuel, how do you know that this experiment is a useful experiment? Amy Vin Ryan and Ashotim. So first of all, let's go with that line. You can't bring a proof from an experiment that was performed by the Egyptians. They're not the smartest. So my time, I know I'm on tape. So my time, so how do you know, first of all, that they were both impregnated at the same time? Perhaps. Well, even though they tried to conceive simultaneously, maybe the woman who was pregnant with the female, maybe she didn't get pregnant right away, and maybe 40 days later, she had relations, and then and only then did she get pregnant. So Rabbi Yishmael l'shomer masri. No, so Rabbi Yishmael says no, because after impregnating them for the first time simultaneously, he then put guards to make sure that they would not have relations again, in order to control the experiment to make sure that they were, if they conceived, all, conceived only at the same time.
What about the guards?
V'rabanan, and that's exactly what the Chachamim are going to say in Epitrapus La'arayos, that you can't control that. And even if you put guards on, the guards themselves are going to have relations with the girls. And Tosfos goes one step further. Tosfos says, and even if the guards are sreesim, which was the move back then, meaning that the male guards who guarded the females were usually eunuchs. Tosfos says, there's a way, meaning where there's a will, there's a way, and so maybe someone could pay off the guards, and there's, you can't just simply can't control that aspect of the experiment. So Eimar Shomer Gufa Ba'ala V'Dilma Yikarina Lahach Den Akeva Barabin V'Chad Hava Mishtacha Kezachar. So and then the Gemara says, and furthermore, let me ask you this, meaning the one that was pregnant with the male, I don't know how they knew this. This part of the experiment is confusing to me, but the one that was pregnant with the male, so they opened her up at day 40 and they found, oh, developed male inside. The one that was pregnant with the female, I know how they figured this out. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm just right now having a conversation with myself. That's wonderful. The one that was pregnant with the female, so they opened her up after day 80 and they found the developing fetus inside. The Gemara now wants to know, but wait a second. If I took the one who was pregnant with the female and I opened her up on day 40, maybe I would have found already a developing fetus inside of her. Meaning, so we waited for 40 extra days. But maybe, had you opened her up on day 40, you would have found the same thing. Amar Abaye b'siman hon shavin. So Abaye says no, because what the developing male that they found inside of the 40-day-old fetus was the same shape, same size, same everything as the 80-day developing fetus, female fetus inside of the other woman. So in other words, day 40 and day 80 were equal to one another in size, in weight, in shape, and the only difference, of course, being one being male, one being female. And again, this would be a proof for Rabbi Shmuel that the development of a female is twice as long as the development of a male. Okay. All right, and that's it, meaning that's the end of that discussion. What are you asking? How do they know which one was female?
Yeah.
So the Gemara later on will say in today's daf that if you want to, there are ways to determine gender. Stay tuned. And Cleopatra knew it. Stay tuned. The Chachamim Omrim Echad Bria Zachar Echad Bria Nekeva. Chachamim Ayin Tana Kama. Now, the Gemara asks a question, which it often does, and if you look back at the Mishnah and the previous Amud, so you'll notice that we first have the position of the Tana Kama, which is 40-day development for boy and girl. Then you had Rabbi Shmuel, which is 40 and 80, 40 for a boy, 80 for a girl. And then you had the Chachamim, no, it's 40 for both. But we already know the opinion of the Chachamim. In fact, the Chachamim is the Tana Kama, and why would the Mishnah do that? So v'chachamim amar me'echad b'riyas achar v'echad b'riyas nekeva. Chachamim ayin tana kama v'chitem ala mistam arei shema. K'rabban v'yachad rabim, I'm sorry, v'yachad v'rabim, alachik rabim. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Mishnah just wanted to make sure that we understood that the Tana Kama really is the Chachamim, and the Tana Kama is not a singular opinion, but it is the majority opinion. And just making sure that we know that if I have a debate between rabim v'yachad, halachik rabim. So the Gemara says, Pshita, yeah, but we knew all this already. So Ma'od Detema Mistar B'Taima Derav Yishmal DeKamasai LeKra KamashMalan. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe the reason why the Mishnah had to reinforce the position of the Tana Kama is because Rabbi Yishmal had a pasuk, and that would lend more credence and more support for Rabbi Yishmal's position, and that's why the Mishnah wanted to reinforce that even despite all that, we're going to go like the Chachamim. Derash Rabbi Simlai, Lama Havla Dome Bemei, I'm sorry, Lama Havla Dome Bemei Imo. So now the Gemara is going to describe for us the fetal position and a baby in utero. Now please remember, keep in mind, this is done without the modern applications that we have. We can see the fetus in utero nowadays. Every expecting parent nowadays gets to see the fetus in utero, and they hang it up on the fridge, and it's an exciting moment. So this is all without the assistance of modern technology. So lepinka shemekupal munach. I'm sorry, shemekupal munach. So it's like it's like a letter which is folded up. So yadav al shtei tzadav. Its hands are over its sides. Shtei atzilav al beis arkosav. The armpits are over the knees. In other words, it's really describing for us what we know to be the fetal position. The heels of the baby are folded so that it's touching the buttocks. And the head is right between the shoulders. Mouth is closed. I'll say belly button. The navel, thank you. I was going to say there's a better word. V'tibura pasuach v'ocha mima shimo chelos, eats whatever mom eats. V'shosu mima shimo shoseh, drinks whatever mom drinks. V'ena motzi rea, and it does not produce any fecal matter. Shema yaro gazimo, because then it'll kill the mother. Right? The Gemara is referring to some sort of bacterial infection. And once it emerges from the mother, things that were open, meaning its navel, are now closed. Things that are closed, i.e. its mouth and its rectum, are now open. Had this conversion at birth not occur, it wouldn't be able to survive even one moment. Those words of the Gemara, where do you hear that? You hear that in the bracha of Ashayatzar. Meaning, right, when you come out of the bath of Ashayatzar and you're able to use your bodily orifices, so you, part of the bracha is Afilo Sha'achas. Those words are basically taken from our Gemara of Ir. V'ner delok lo al rosho. Now, the Gemara smoothly transitions from the physical development of this fetus inside to now its spiritual existence. So, and it doesn't, it's a seamless transition. It's got a candle lit right over its head. V'tzofo maybe misofa olam v'atzofo. And it's able to see the entire world from one end to the other. Shenamar bahilo neiro alai, roshi la'oro elechoshech. Gomar quotes the pasuk in Iyov that describes this unbelievable vision of the fetus. V'altid mashari adam yashem kanvro echalam basmamya. And the Gemara says, and we kind of understand that. Meaning what happens is that we go to bed at night and we have visions also. Visions of lands far away. And, okay, how do we do that? Okay, so it's like when we go to bed at night, it's kind of like we're fetuses over all over again. V'ein l'cha yamim sh'adam shari b'tov v'yosem yosan yamim. There are no days better than those days that we were inside of our mothers. Shenemra mi yineni ki yarche kedem. Again, going back to the pasuk in Iyov, I wish I could live those months again. Key word, those months. Now, when do we go by months? When was our lives dictated by months? 9 months of gestation. Now, needless to say, we all know this, we all have heard this. This is the Gemara. We learn the entire Torah. Shenemar v'yoreini. We have another pasuk as well that speaks to this idea that we're learning Torah in utero. Kola Torah. My v'yomer. Now, to make this point, the Gemara quoted two pesukim. Why two? So v'chitem anivra hu dekamar tashma besod alaka alai ahali. Right, the second pasuk tells us that when we're in the ohel, when we're in the quote unquote in the tent, that's when we're learning the Torah, b'sod Elokah, and we're learning the sod Hashem, the secrets of God. And now, once we are born, so it's funny, we always have it as a certain malach. The Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara just simply says a malach. Hits him, sitro alpiv, umishkacho kol Torah kulo. And so what we do is we forget the entire Torah. Shenamar lefeta chatas roveitz. This is the muster that Hashem gave to Cain after having killed his brother. But the Gemara uses this pasuk as a drush, and the Gemara says lefeta chatas roveitz. When you go through your first entrance in life, your first doorway, which is the doorway from being in utero to outside, so he's standing right there. And he's going to cause you to forget all your Torah. So then the obvious question, what's the point? And the given answer, which I've heard so many ways in so many different formats, is, but we have it now latent inside of us. In other words, we're encrypted. We're encrypted now to learn Torah. So when we're learning Torah, it's not a first time, right? It's all of it, like, yeah, right. So it's deja vu in the best way imaginable. Now, before the baby emerges from the mother, so there's a shvua, because in utero life is great. You're learning with the you're learning Kol HaTorah Kula. You're learning Sod Hashem.
Where are you learning from?
It doesn't say. Now I know right the from other sources. I don't even know what the other sources. You're learning with a malach, but our Gemara doesn't say. It's a good observation, but Shemashbino. So, but now that you're going into the world. So now you have to make a shvua. And the shvua goes like this. Tishava kolashon. Everyone makes a shvua. That's on the day that you're born. Shenemar. Iki chapaim uvar levav. Asher lo nasala shav nafsho. Velo nishba lirmirma. Okay, good. So we've just established that you make a shvua. What's the shvua that you make? Umaya shvua shemashbin oso, te tzadik va'al tehe rasha, afilu kulam kula omrim lecha, tzadik ata, haye be'inecha karasha. When you go into this world, you're supposed to be a tzadik, not a rasha. And even if everyone's giving you a pat on the back and saying, wow, you're such a tzadik, don't think of yourself as a tzadik. But rather, think of yourself as a Rasha. Now you know Kadosh Baruch Hu is Tahor. You know that all of his attendants are Tahor. You know the Neshama that was entrusted with you is also Tahor. If you keep it that way, great. However, if you don't keep it Tahor, I take it away from you. Time to be Rabbi Shmuel Moshe Lekohen Shemasu Truma Lama Arts. You know what it's like, says the Gemara, I give you an analogy. It's like handing over Truma to an Amma Arets. Truma is obviously something with Kedusha and Tahara. And you say to the Amma Arets, look, watch it, guard it. And if great, great. But if you touch this Truma, and you are Mitame this Truma, what am I left to do? I'm only going to burn it. I think the nishal is self-evident. Amar Reb Elazar, Mikra. The Gemara continues now with this discussion. How do I know that on the day that you're born, you're going to make a shvua? He quotes a different pasuk in Tehillim. We're now on the top of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Mimeimi ata gozi. From the womb of my mother, you have gozi. Now the word gaz means cut. The Gemara is going to now make a connection between the word gaz and the term shvua. My mashma dahai gozi lishna di ishtabuye udechsev. Gazin is vech vashlich. The Gemara quotes pasuk from Yirmiyahu, where you see the word gaz used in conjunction with the nazir. Nazir, of course, is shvua. V'amar Rav Elazar lama vladome. Lema vladome b'meimo leegoz munach b'sefer shomayim. It's like a nut in water. That is the fetus inside of the mother. Adam nosin etzbo alav shokei lekan lekan, meaning that what happens is that if you touch, I don't recommend, but if you touch the stomach of a pregnant woman, so what's going to happen is you don't feel the baby because the baby moves, right? That's part of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the fetus inside the mother, that it's in a very protected environment. Tana Rabbanan Shoshe Chadashim Harishonim Vlad Dar B'Mador HaTachton. Okay, the Gemara is going to talk now about the developing fetus in utero and basically give it three floors, if you will. Now, it's not really three floors, but in other words, early fetal development, first trimester, Vladar b'madur tachton, baby's on the bottom floor, meaning it's low in the uterus. Emtsayin Vladar b'madur ha'emtsayi. During that second trimester, the baby moves up now in the further higher in the uterus. And then you get to the end, the final trimester of pregnancy, and now baby's in the top floor, meaning higher in the uterus. She gives one of the states. And now when baby's ready to come out, so head drops and baby's now ready to emerge. And part of the pains of a woman giving birth is that drop. When the baby goes from top floor and basically does a nosedive as to exit. And oh, by the way, having a girl is more painful than having a boy, says the Gemara. And
how do we know this?
First of all, it's not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. I'm thinking to myself, it's a Braisa. And the Gemara is going to explain. It doesn't say that I live there, but rikamti is like I was woven over there. Now, why is it? Why is it that mom giving birth to a female is more painful than a male? Zeba kederach tashmisho, vzeba kederach tashmisho. Zeh ofech espanev, vzeh ein ofech panav. Because the Gemara believes that the developing fetus inside develops as it was conceived, meaning that a male is facing the same direction as the man who impregnated her was. So in other words, the male doesn't need to turn, doesn't need to twist when it emerges out of the womb of the mother. However, the female is facing the same way mom was during the time of conception. So that means that not only does it need to do a nosedive, it needs to nosedive and turn in order so that it can come out facing down. The first trimester, we're now talking about intimacy between husband and wife post-conception. So the first 3 months are difficult. Now, mind you, by the way, never prohibited. Meaning, relations between husband and wife are permitted during the entire pregnancy. So Gemara is just going to now comment on, during the first 3 months, it's just difficult. It's difficult for the mother, it's difficult for the developing baby inside. Emtsayim, that second trimester, kashalish of yafal of lot. Difficult for the mom, but good for the fetus. Achronim, yafalish of yafal of lot. Now that last trimester, good for mom and good for the baby. Shemitochach nimsa havlad miluban umiziraz. The Gemara views the zera of the father as almost like a cleansing agent for the baby. And so the baby comes out cleaner. Again, I don't understand all this, but that's fine. I don't need to. But the baby comes out cleaner if relations occurs during that final trimester. Now, we said relations between mom and dad during the first trimester is difficult, and we could point to the 90th day post-conception as being unbelievably difficult. In fact, it may cause a miscarriage, says the Gemara. Now, 90 days post-conception, and specifically on the 90th day post-conception. Now, Minayada, so the Gemara has a very simple question. Well, how do you know exactly 90 days post-conception? Abaye says, don't worry. Meaning, it is an issue, but Shomer Pesayim Hashem, Hakadosh Baruch Hu watches over fools. Meaning, in this regard, we're allowed to act foolishly. This is an interesting issue, topic that comes up a couple of places throughout Halacha, where we're allowed to behave foolishly. Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he was asked a question about smoking cigarettes, now mind you, this is he does not have the information that we have nowadays in terms of the harms of cigarette smoking. But even back then, 60s and 50s, he knew it was bad. So one of the things he writes in his tshuva is Shomer Pesayim Hashem, meaning, look, I'm telling you, it's foolish behavior, but okay, people want to act foolishly, that's fine. I'll give you another excellent example of where we behave foolishly and it's okay. Meaning such a bizarre example, but you know you're not allowed to wipe after going to the bathroom. You're not allowed to wipe with toilet paper, right? Did you know that? You're right. The Gemara says we'll get to the Gemaras. The Gemara says you're supposed to use rocks. You're not supposed. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says you're not allowed to use anything which is flammable. Okay, so right. So the. These are the instructions of the Gemara. Again, I don't fully understand, but that's fine. So the question then becomes, well, we all use toilet paper, and toilet paper is flammable. So this question was dealt with by so many people. So the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Epstein, in the end of the 20th century, right? No, sorry, end of the 19th century. Sorry, I'm one century ahead of myself. So he writes, Shomer Pesayim Hashem, meaning, okay, so in this regard, we're acting foolishly. It's foolish behavior, but what can I tell you? So the Gemara says here also, meaning, you're right, the 90th day post-conception is not a good time for mom and dad to have relations with one another. It is harmful to the child, but Shomer Pesayim Hashem, you're allowed to act foolishly. Tanur Rabban Shlosha Shutim Yesh Ba'adam. Three partners in terms of the creation of every single person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Aviv V'Imo. God, Dad, Mom. Now, Aviv Mazria Haloven. Now, Dad provides the white. I mean that literally. Dad provides the white. Shemimenu. And now with that white material, white creative material that Dad provides, so that's going to make the bones, the sinews, the gidim, sipornaim, the fingernails, umok shabarosho, the brain matter, veloven shabayin, and the white of the eye. Meaning, and again, how literal to take this Gemara, I'll leave that for you. I'm just here to outline the Gemara. So that's what Dad contributes to the developing fetus. Imo, mazras odam shemimenu. And Mom is providing the red. And with that red creative material, so that fashions the, or the skin, ubasar, and the flesh. Now, what you could do here in the Gemara, I don't know, I'm not going to insist on it, but you can add a word, and what word are we going to add into the Gemara? Dam. Right, add the word blood. Meaning that the blood is made from that red creative material of Mom. And why do we want to add? First of all, blood happens to be red, so it's an easy addition. But also it balances. Because if you count it by the father had five things that he produced. So this is like it's a nice balance. Mom is going to produce five things as well. Usa'aros, ushchor sheba'ayin. And also the hair. Now the hair is black, but I know not all of our hairs are black, but in other words, but remember, red and black are the same color. We talked about this earlier. And also the shachar shebaayin and the black of the eye. Okay, good. V'akadosh Baruch Hu nosein bo ruach haneshama. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu himself is going to add and contribute to the birth of the baby. So he's giving the ruach haneshama, right? Uklaster panim, our facial features. Everyone has an individual look to him. V'riyatha ayin, our ability to see, ushmiyasa ozen, our ability to hear, v'dibur pen, our ability to speak, v'holach ragam, our ability to walk, ubina v'askel, and our ability to think. All these things that contribute to us, in other words, these are obviously all the spiritual matter that's used to create man.
The blood is in the spirit too.
You're right.
Right.
Yeah, right. Damu nefesh. Okay. Maybe that's the issue. It's interesting. Maybe that's the issue in terms of whether it does or doesn't belong in our Gemara. And so now when it's time for us to go, after 120 years on this earth, so Kadosh Baruch Hu takes his contribution, and so then all we're left with is the raw physical material that was provided by Mom and Dad. Amar Papa Ainu Damri Inshi puts Milcha Vishadi Bisulakava. He says, I'll give you an analogy. Salt back then was used as preservative material. So, if you wanted the meat to spoil, what you'll do is you'll take the salt away, and then what's left with the meat is basically throw it to the dogs, meaning it's going to rot. Our salt is what was contributed to us by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Once the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes away our salt, so to say, that's it.
Does that have anything to do with the salt
at the Mizbeah? Yeah, I was thinking that too. You read my mind. Darash Rav Chinen Abar Papa Ma'idich Siv. What does the pasuk say? Ha'osik Gedol Sad In Cheker V'Niflaos Ad Ein Mispar. Sounds familiar. It's a pasuk in Iyuv. It's to add it to our davening, part of the Birchos of Kriyashma. V'rash lo kimitz kash baruch hu mitzvah adam mitzvah adam nosin chefetz be chemetz trura upia lamala stafik mishtamer stafik ein mishtamer. We put contents into a jug, into a thermos, and we have the opening on the top. And sometimes it holds the contents, and sometimes it doesn't. V'ilu kash baruch hu tzamer uber b'meisha p'stucha pia lamata u'mishtamer. And a kash baruch hu, he takes the developing fetus, he puts it inside the mom, the opening is on the bottom, and it still holds beautifully inside of mom. Davar acher adam nosin chafetz al v'kaf mezayim kol zman shemachbid, yori lamata v'il kosh baruch hu kol zman shemachbid, havlad ola lamala. And also remember how we just described how as the baby is developing inside the utero, it develops and it keeps moving up in the uterus, which is contrary to what we know as a physical law. When something gets heavier, it drops lower to the ground, and meanwhile, this developing fetus, as it gets heavier, ascends. Darsh Rabbi Yosi Agluya Ma'idichsev Orech Al Kol Na'os Niflesi Niflaim Ma'asech of Nafshi Yoda'as Ma'od. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Tehillim. Ba'urei Shalokim Midas Kosh Baruch Midas Basav Adam Midas Basav Adam Adam Nosein Zir Onim Be'aruga Kolacha Va'achal Ola Bimino. When we plant the seed, what does that seed produce? Whatever that seed is supposed to produce. And even if we mix, which we're not allowed to do, but even if we mix, it doesn't produce some sort of... In other words, the seeds are still going to produce what those seeds produce. V'il kash baruchu, tsar hu b'me isha v'kulam olam lamin echad. And meanwhile, when it comes to the developing of a fetus, so you have the seed of the father, the seed of the mother... And it's, you know, we're mixing seeds together, but it always produces the same basic tree. I mean, not tree, but fetus. Davar acher, tzavanos en simanam liyareh, kulam olam l'tzava echad. V'il kosh baruch hu tzar ha'uber b'me'isha kol achad v'achad ola l'mino. Also in terms of the coloration. Dad produced the white, mom produced the red, and everything, in other words, then the kosh baruch hu is able to keep these colors not mixed together, but keep all those colors separate. Darsh Rav Yosef Ma'idichsev Odecha Hashem Ki Anafta Bi Yashuv Apecha V'tan Chameini. Now, this statement of Rav Yosef is not necessarily related, but the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Yishayahu. B'makas of Madaber B'shnei B'nei Adam Shiatzul Eschora. Two people going on a business trip. Yashuv Lo Ketz La'achal Mehem. One of them gets a thorn stuck in his foot. Hischol Mecharef U'megadev. Missed his boat, starts cursing God. Layamim shama shetav asfi naso shel chaver b'yam, and heard that the ship went down. His chamodo mishabeach, and then he realizes that that thorn that he got on his foot was really a blessing in disguise. Akach na'amar yeshuv apcha v'tanchemi v'hayna damer Rabbi Lazar my dichsiv osen neflaos levado v'rchshem kavado le'olam afilu ba'anes eno makir b'niso. Take away a line from today's Gemara. That either the person who experiences a miracle doesn't even realize that a miracle is occurring to him. Darish Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Ma'idichsev Archi v'Rivi Zaris v'Chol Darei Hiskanta. The Gemara quotes another pasuk again from Tehillim. Malam Shalonotzer Adam Min Kol Hatipa Ela Min Abar Sheba. Many seeds are discharged into the woman from the man, but only the strongest seed. Only the clearest seed is used to produce the baby. Tana de Bei Rabbi Yishmael Mashal Adam Shazar Bebeis Agranos. You know, it's like winnowing. It's really no different than winnowing when you're out in the field winnowing. Now, you know how many times I've winnowed over the course of my life? Zero. But it's just like winnowing, says the Gemara. No tel es ha'ochel u'meiniech es ha'psoles. What happens when you winnow is that you throw it up into the air. All the stuff that you don't need, the chaff, it gets blown away. What comes down? The good stuff. Kidrabi Abau, the Rabbi Abau, Rami Ksiv, Vitazreni, Chayel, Viksiv, Ha'el, Hama'azreni, Chayel. Amar Davil of Nekosh Baruch, Ribbon Shalom, Zarisani, Vizarzasani. You widowed me, David Amalch says to Kosh Baruch. Meaning, I was created not by just any seed of my father, but of the strongest of the seeds. Darsh Rabbi Abba Ma'idichsi Mimana for Yaakov Mesaper is Rova Yisrael Malam Shekadosh Baruch Hu Yosheva Sofer es Revi Yosehem Shal Yisrael El. Kadosh Baruch Hu counts through the seeds. Masai Tavot Tipasha Tzadik Notzer Haymeno. Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, is kind of like assisting in making sure that we are developing from the best seed. But Davar Zeh Miyad Nismeis Eino. And did I skip? Yes, I did. Davar Zeh Nismeis Eino Shel Bilam HaRasha. Bilam HaRasha lost an eye over this. Amra Mishu Tar Bekarosh Mashar Sav Tarim Kedoshim Yatzitz Bedavar Zeh. Bilam says, I don't understand. Kadosh Baruch Hu is such a pure entity. And this is what he's with? He's worried about the Zera. And by the way, I mean, let's just say it. Bilam does have somewhat of a point in that we know Shechvat Zera is an Avatumma. It is a source of Tumma. But, of course, Bilam was very short-sighted. And I kind of mean that literally. Bilam was very short-sighted because, yes, it's true, the Shechvat Zera is an Avatumma, but it's also going to be what is produced to create a person. So, Miyan Nismes Eno Dechsev No Magever Sisom Ha'ayin. Bilam lost his ability to see with both eyes. He literally becomes short-sighted in his inability to understand that, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does actually sits there and counts the seed of the man. Right, the Kadosh Baruch Hu aided and abetted Yaakov in that one night together with Leah. Meaning it wasn't supposed to be Leah's night. It was supposed to be Rachel's night. Rachel sold the night to Leah for Dudaim. And that night then belonged to Leah. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu aided. Shenemar Yisachar Chamor Garem. The Gemara gives such a beautiful drasha. The donkey caused Yisachar. Right? Funny. It's a funny pasuk. It's hard to understand. Chamor Garam Lo LiYisachar. Because what happens is that Yaakov was driving home his donkey that night. He was trying to steer and navigate the donkey to the tent of Rachel. Kadosh Baruch Hu moved the donkey to the tent of Leah. And by the way, in other words, if we can connect, the Gemara just described how Bilam couldn't fathom that. And by the way, Bilam himself was riding on the donkey, and the donkey steered and navigated to a different route.
Is it the same donkey as Abraham and Bilam
is very good? Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Amar Rabbi Ami Okay, gender selection. Here we begin. Where the Gemara says like this. If the woman's mazras tchila, now I don't fully understand what this means, meaning that for a man to seminate, that we kind of understand. For a woman, could be the Gemara describing the climax over here, quite possibly. Isha mazras tchila yolad zachar. So if she's mazras first, so the baby, ensuing baby, is a zachar. Ish mazriat tchila yoladis nekeva. And if the woman, sorry, if the man is mazras first, so then what comes out is going to be a female. Shenemar, Isha Kisus Riavi Alta Zachar. It's a Pasuk in Chumash. Opening Pasuk of Parshas Tazria. Isha Kisazria, and Zachar comes out. Tanur Rabbanan Brishon HaYomim, Isha Mazrat Tchila Yoleh Zachar, Isha Mazrat Tchila Yoleh Nekeva. V'lo Pirshu Chachamim Esadavar, Ashaba Rabbi Tzadok U'Pirshu. Along comes Rabbi Tzadok to explain. Eila B'nei Leah Asher Yaldol Yaakov B'Padan Aram, the Ezdina Bito, Tala HaZachar B'Nekev Z'Nekeva B'Zachar. Meaning, if you look at how the Torah describes, Eila B'nei Leah, these are the sons of Leah, Asher Yaldol Yaakov B'Padan Aram. Meaning when describing the boys, we talk about Leah. Right? Because for them to have resulted in being boys, Leah needed to be Mazria first. And then when it talks about Dina, it then shifted to Yaakov. Because in order for Dina to have been Dina, a girl, so then it needed Yaakov to be Mazria first. By the way, I don't know how to relate this Gemara to what we know, that Dina was supposed to be a boy, and then switched. This Gemara may not sit well with that Gemara. Okay. Now, V'yu b'nei ulam anashim, Gibor Chayel Dorche Keshes Marbim Banim Uvnei Banim. V'chi b'yadu sh'adam l'harbos banim b'nei b'neim. Really, a man's able to control what kind of gender he's going to have? Ela mitoch she'mishayin atzman bebetim k'dei sh'yezru n'sh'aseyem t'chila sh'yu b'neim z'charim malay aleyem akasav kilo heim mar ben banim u'b'nei banim. And the Gemara says, absolutely, that mashin atzman bebetim, the Gemara here gives a very detailed description about how when they had relations, when these particular men had relations with their wives, so they would wait, meaning the men would wait before, so that the woman would first climax, then the man would climax, and that's how you produce a male. I can make every one of my children a male. Now, the Gemara gives further advice in terms of how to have a male, and that is that have relations with your wife and then repeat. Because what then will happen is that after having relations the first time, she will, in other words, let's say the man is Masras first, then she will, and then by the man repeating, so that would be, mean that the man would be the, would have the last say in the matter, and which would produce a male child. Now, when's the best time for a woman to conceive? So the Gemara is going to have a debate about this. So one opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Ami, is right before she's about to menstruate. Shenemar hein ba'avon chalalti. Right close to sin. Meaning right before she becomes a nida, that's when I'm developed and fashioned. Rabbi Yochanan amar samach l'tfila. And Rabbi Yochanan, which again we know to be more closer to our understanding of biology, so samach l'tfila. Right when she told us in the mikvah, which we know is to be the time when she ovulates, that's the best time for conception. Shenamar uvechet yichameni. Yichameni imi. My mashmadai chet lishna de dechui. Now here chet does not mean sin. Here chet means at the time when she's cleansed, meaning when she goes to the mikvah. Okay, and we see that sometimes in Chumash, the word chet means to cleanse. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Parshas Metzorah. Now the pasuk in Tehillim where we are cleansed with the ezov. Okay. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Give me 2 more minutes. If you need to leave, that's fine. I'm just going to finish up over here.
Can it spell the same way?
Yes. And it's confusing how sometimes it can mean sin and sometimes it means just the opposite cleanse. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak. V'amar Rabbi Ami kemish ba'zachar ba'olam ba'shalom ba'olam. When the male comes into this world, peace comes into this world. I know it sounds counterintuitive. Shenemar shochu kar moshel aret zachar zekar. The Gemara says that zachar is a contraction of the word zekar, brings peace and comfort into the world like a pillow. V'amar Yitzchak debei Rabbi Ami ba zachar olam ba ki karo biyado. When a boy is brought into this world, the loaf of bread comes in his hand. Meaning he's a breadwinner. He's a bread earner. Zachar zekar dechsiv vayichre lahem kira gedola. Nekeva inim aklum. When a woman comes into this world, she comes in empty-handed. And nekeva nikia ba. The Gemara plays on the word nekeva. Nekeva nikia ba. She's empty. She comes empty-handed. Ad amar mizoni. Ad amra mizoni. Lo yavila. And she has to actually ask for food. Right, the Gemara in the dialogue between Lavan and Yaakov, Nakvas Charech Alai. You see the word Nekeva, meaning they have to ask for food. Shalu Tamidavis Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochem Ibn Ma'amra Tor Yoletis Mivia Karban. Okay, the Gemara here asks the question that we've asked so many times throughout Shas. A woman gives birth, she brings a karban, what did she do wrong? When she's enduring the pains of labor, she swears, I never will be with my husband again. So the Gemara says, I don't understand that. I really don't. Meaning, that was mazid. She did so intentionally. We know there's no carbon for a mazid. Additionally, there could be clear charata, meaning later she'll charata.
Regret.
Yeah, later she'll regret it. The old carbon shvua by Yisuye, and on top of that, if it's all about the oath that she made, there's a carbon for that already. So in other words, it's interesting. There was a question, there was an answer. There are a lot of questions on the answer, and we move along. Meaning, it's not a totally satisfying answer, and the Gemara kind of acknowledges that. And we move along. How come when a woman has a boy, she's tamei for 7 days, but after having a girl, she's tamei for 14 days? Please see on your own Rabbeinu Bachya on this question. He gives an unbelievable answer. So the La'arba Asar Zachar Shakol Smechem Bo Mischareta L'Shiva Nekeva Shakol Atzavim Bo Mischareta La'arba Asar. I could not make this up. The Gemara says because after having a boy, so you know everyone's happy, right? We're going to have a Shom Zachar. We're going to have a Bris. Everyone's happy. So after 7 days, she's ready to be back with her husband again. The girl, not everyone's happy. It's a girl. I can't make this up. So not everybody's happy. It takes longer. Okay. Umibnei ma'amra Torah mila l'shmona. Why is the bris on the eighth day? It's a strange question. I'm acknowledging. It's a strange question. But why is the bris on the eighth day? Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Shalai yikulam smeichem avivim otzavim. Because what? You want everyone to be happy, but the husband and wife not to be happy? So in other words, she had the boy, she'll be tamei for 7 days, and then for the eighth day, husband and wife can be back together again. So they can be happy as well.
How do you come with that humra that not is your wife?
Okay. Easy. It's a good question. It's not you'll ask somebody else. Tanya Haya Rebbe Meir Omer Mimne Amra Torah Nidil Shiva, Mimne Shiragaba, the Katzba, Amra Torah Te Tamea Shiva Yamim Kadeshi Chaviva, Abala Kishas Kanisa Lachopa. The Gemara here provides for us an unbelievable insight, which we all know, which is why is a nida forbidden for husband for 7 days? So to give husband and wife a break, and that when they resume intimacy, it's like for the first time. Shalu talmidav es rabbi dusai b'rabbi yana mimnei ma ish mechaz al isha v'in isha mechazeres al ish. Why do men chase women? Why do women not chase men? Mashal adam she'avalo aveda. Mi mechazer ami. Because when you lose something, so what happens? Does the lost item look for its owner? No. The owner looks for its lost item. We, meaning us men, lost a part of us, and that's the woman. So therefore we're hunting down the item that we lost. Ami balaveda mechazer alaveda so umimne ma ish panav lamata v'isha panel lamala. During the act of intimacy between husband and wife, why is a man facing down? Why is a woman facing up? So, because both of them are facing the source of where they came from. The man comes from the ground, he faces the ground. The woman comes from the man, she faces a man. How come a man can be appeased, but a woman can never be appeased? And you can quote me. So zemi makam shenivra v'zemi makam shenivres, because we come from the earth and the earth is soft and malleable and flexible, and the woman comes from a bone, and bones are not soft and malleable and flexible. Okay, enough said about that. Mimne ma isha kola arev in ish kolo arev. How come men have terrible voices and how come women have beautiful voices? So zemi makam shenivra v'zemi makam shenivres, because we come from the ground. And the ground doesn't produce a whole lot of good sound. She comes from bone. Bone produces beautiful sounds. Right? I mean, we've talked about this in the past. We make flutes out of bone. And okay, Shenemar ki kolech arev umarech na'ava. Hadrolacham hapaz chaticha. And that, my friends, is the end of the third perek. And I know we went overtime today. I'm running. Okay, everyone have a great day.